Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
You all right there, Sam? Had a good weekend?
Yeah, it was a quite relaxing weekend, really. I enjoyed it. I watched The Wall yesterday evening. I didn't watch it at the... I never, as I've said before, people tweet me and I have to basically go off Twitter, like in the Likely Lads episode, because everyone tweets. I fucking told them, the cunts, and by cunts I mean you, listeners, right? I fucking said, I don't watch it because it's on too late for Lent. So yesterday I didn't watch it to the evening.
They've moved it back, though. It was 8:40 on Saturday night. They've moved it back a little bit.
What I think the hell that's are for they fucking around? Yeah, their number one fucking viewer.
I don't know. But the thing about The Wall is it's there's so many complex outcomes, and not just within The Wall itself. It's all about the contestants and whether or not you warm to them. And really, if you don't warm to them, you don't want them to win. If you warm to them, you want them to win, and sometimes they won't, and vice versa. And on Saturday night, my God, I was desperate for those two to walk away with an out.
And it was so close. Honestly, right? It's interesting you should say that, because watching it with Len, I watch him, and whether or not he makes a decision on whether he likes them quite early.
Well, but then he says,
I thought it was unseemly, actually, and even my good wife said, Len, come on. Because when they went down to naught, right, when they just kept getting, like, and the balls kept falling in one... I mean, I've never seen an episode like it in terms of The Wall. Like, The Wall's behaviour, it has never behaved like that before, has it?
Anarchy, wasn't it? It's absolute anarchy.
It was complete anarchy. But, like, Len was going fucking wild. Like, you know, West Ham had just won the Champions League. And it was too much. And I was like, why are you celebrating so much? He goes, because they're losing, they're going to end up with nothing. She went, but why do you want them to lose? He went, oh, you know, look at them. I just don't like them. I just do not like them. And I had to intervene. I said, listen, mate, you might not like them. Fine. I said, but, you know, they're just humans. And, you know, like, you can't be that happy about someone else having such bad luck. I had to have a word with him.
Really?
Because I agree with what you're saying. What you're saying is basically true. But I'm not sure I can let my young child get so immersed that he's going mental like he scored a goal.
He needed to rein it in a little bit, yeah. But then again, if you've turned against them, which I did very early on, and I mean, I thought Danny's patience was going to be tested by the end of it. Because, you know, when she was trying to clap the balls down.
Yeah. Danny, I thought, from an early juncture, I felt Danny was bullying the bloke in a very subtle...
In a very
subtle Alpha Cockney way.
Yeah.
He was doing the Alpha Cockney bit. Yeah. He's going, oh, yeah. Let's look at, you're rugged, aren't you? But he had this little smile on his face. She said she was, it was fucking, she threw him under the bus right from fucking get-go, right? Because he was a bit Rodney Trotter, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
And I can see what had gone on there, because actually there was something about her. I know why people found her annoying, but I don't know whether it was that trouser, that sort of jumpsuit she was wearing, but I was like, oh, I can see how he's ended up with her. Because she's like this older woman, and she was considerably older,
wasn't she?
And
she
was 10 years older.
Is that what it was?
She said, I was looking, after the failure of my first marriage, I was looking for an older man, the rugged type. I don't know, maybe I'm old-fashioned and insecure, but I wouldn't like my wife to be talking about what sort of man she had been looking for.
Especially, you wouldn't like what she would say.
Especially if that description was so different to mine, to what I was. She's laughing, going, yeah, I was looking for someone who was older and rugged, and I ended up with him. And he's just there taking it, right? Because I reckon he gets a lot of shit in that relationship, right? But, you know, I reckon she hooked, got her claws into him in the office, probably.
Yeah.
And I reckon the lad, I mean, this is a horrible phrase and I'm loath to use it, but sometimes it's the only phrase that'll do. I reckon the lad was cunt-struck by her at an early age, yeah. Right? And he couldn't get out. He couldn't get out because I reckon she was showing him things in the bedroom that he had never conceived of before.
Yeah.
And he was trapped by that.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're probably right there. And I'm not going to say anything else publicly because... there was something I was going to say about them. It's kind of like it's one of them relationships where, like, there's energy in a relationship and it's not always evenly distributed. Where you, sometimes one person has got far too much, let's say, personality, and the other one just basks in that and just coasts along. In the absence of their own kind of personality, and it was just like that. And she was just all the noise and fizz was coming from her. And he was just kind of clinging on.
Yeah, he got quite a few questions wrong. And but Danny was like, yeah, I just felt Danny was low-key bullying him, like taking the piss in subtle little ways. Yeah. Like at one point he said something like, go and stand next to your beautiful wife or something like that, right?
It was your cute missus, I think it was, when he came out after the...
Yeah, that makes it worse. And I was like, yeah, that makes it worse. If it was beautiful wife, that sounds like a fair enough legitimate compliment to make, right?
Yeah.
But cute missus, I don't know. To me, that was like Danny was toeing the line there and he was pushing. And it wasn't like Danny because he's not usually like that, I don't think. But it was something about this lad he took exception to. And he thought, maybe he was just... Danny, let's be honest, very often seems bored presenting the wall, which is one of the reasons I love his presentation style, right? But I think he was in a way just like a cat toying with a lame mouse. He was like bored and to pass the time, thought, ah, might have a bit of fun with this bloke.
Yeah.
Might dick him around a little bit, flirt with his missus, take the piss out of his chest there.
I think we've said this before, it's all about Danny's relationship with the wall itself. And the contestants are just a sideshow. They're just an annoyance sometimes. And I think they were on Saturday.
You know how, like, the main agenda of Danny is very often seems to get from the beginning to the end of the show with as little fuss or bother as possible. Like, he sort of thinks, well, you can imagine him saying to the producer, listen, mate, if I know this, how long is this show going to go? 40 minutes, Danny. He goes, I reckon I can get it done in 20. Right, and they go, well, that's not the point. You have to do it. I'm not saying it'd make a difference to the money, but I'm saying I could do the job in 20. And they're going, yeah, but we don't want it in 20. It has to be in 40 because that's the slot that's been allocated to it. Right. Well, it just seems a little bit overlong.
I mean, you could surely pad it out with cutaways and stuff like that if you need to.
Yeah. But they edit it so heavily, so fuck knows what he's saying when they record it, because you'll notice that it comes in and he goes, here they are. Welcome to... Right, where are you from? Right, let's look at a video, right? And it kind of jumps about a lot because they've chucked huge chunks out. But one of the things that I've noticed he does in the spirit of his catchphrase, let's just get this fucking over and done with, which is his sort of the subtext of Danny's approach to it all, is he goes, in between rounds, if you remember the golden age of game shows, there'd be a big thing. Like, very often the set would change in between rounds, wouldn't it? They'd go... Yeah. Now that takes us on, coming up, round two. But first, let's see what our Dolly dealers have got in store this week, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
This is how he does the transition on the wall. That's the end of round one. Now, let's get on to round two. That's it.
Yeah.
So effectively, there is no round one and round two, or round three. It's all one round, because there's no punctuation. He just goes, that's round two over with. Round three now. Right, next question.
I mean, it's quite easily something that could be on BBC One at 2 PM, but they've added a massive wall and massive money, and a massive host, which immediately elevates it to primetime Saturday night. There was a little bit of footage. There was a little bit of really weird footage, because obviously on Saturday night they were bankrupt quite early on, so the red balls at the end didn't get the drop. So they had to stretch it out a bit. And there was some weird footage for about 8 seconds of the back of the wall.
They just, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they just put the cameras behind, so you got to see what the back of the wall looked like, round the back.
I imagine loads of Oompa Loompas all on, like, various, like ladders, but those sorts of ladders that can automatically move upwards and downwards and side to side.
Keep
That's
me
how
going.
I like to imagine it.
Nah, it's a bit simpler than that, isn't it? It's self-sustaining, the wall.
It's self-cleaning. Like, Danny has an army of little Dannys, dwarf Cockneys, who he has on ladders, all wearing like flat caps like little chimney sweeps from Victorian era, scurrying about. Go on, lads. They're all my little cousins. All my little cousins from Custom House.
Wall maintenance. But, I mean, I was kind of... I was kind of gutted because, you know, when they kept saying our plan is to go big or go home, and I thought, oh, well, they're not going to sign the contract and they're going to go home with nothing.
But I was certain.
The cunt signed the contract, didn't they?
Certain. Because I thought, the thing is, he's dopey enough. Very often they think, how well have I done on the questions? If I feel I've done well on the questions, I'll tear up the contract. Right?
Yeah, fancy me
chance.
And
I thought, he's dopey enough to probably think, oh, I've done quite well on the questions. But what he didn't realise was, it doesn't matter whether you've done well on the questions or badly on the questions, mate. The wall has fucked you. He has fucked you. You could have got every single one right. You'd still be fucked because the wall has just decided today is not your day.
Every ball's going to be a quid.
Yeah.
What was it, that great moment when Danny went, oh, I can't believe it. He went, 4 balls, £13.
That was the bit where me and Len were like laughing our heads off.
Yeah.
No, he went, you've had 4 balls. Could have brought you in 200 grand. You got 12 quid. Amazing.
Fucking great.
Oh, well, they walked away with 20 grand. Mind you,
did
you notice what they said they wanted to spend their 20 grand on? They wanted to spend 20 grand on their fucking garden, right? Now, they showed the garden, right? And it was a normal-sized garden. It was a modest-sized garden. It was about the size of my garden, right?
Yeah.
And, I'd if I had a bit of cash to spare, I'd probably go big on the garden, right? I'm moderately happy with the garden, but you can always make a garden better, can't you?
You can always make it better. Of course you can, yeah. You can always improve it.
You can always get, like, a fountain put in, a water feature.
Not I mean, the tune of 20 grand, though. Fucking hell.
You know, mate, my dream is to have some koi carp. But that's every Cockney's dream.
Yeah,
I mean,
of course it is.
All Cockneys share one dream, one vision, and that koi is koi carp in the back garden. You're not really a man until you've got some koi carp. So I don't know how much that would cost. But I did think 20 grand's a lot to spend on a garden, isn't it?
But they're not going to go on holiday as well, though. Did they not mention a holiday?
20 grand for the holiday, too. And even that I was quite judgmental about.
Well, I
went, 20 grand? Why does everyone have to get so wrapped up in these fancy holidays? I said they could go on holiday for 5 grand and get a really nice caravan in the Isle of Wight. And she was like, look, they want to go on a 20 grand holiday. And I was like, well, I don't know. She's like, you can't just go around judging other people's life choices. And I thought, yeah, I'm being a bit of a cunt here. But what I did, so I thought, fine, go on your 20 grand holiday, right? But 20 grand garden, I'm struggling to work out just exactly what they're going to fucking do in the garden with the 20 grand.
I don't know what you can do. I'm not a garden expert. So,
Maybe it is koi carp. Maybe that's what they had their eye on.
Yeah,
but they're Welsh, and I didn't think it was such a big thing amongst the Welsh. Thought
I don't
it was
know
a
what
London
they do
thing.
In Wales. I don't know what they do garden-wise in Wales. It's an alien concept to me. But, we'll see.
I mean, there's so much lovely open space in Wales, I wouldn't be that bothered about the garden. But, you know, there's their business, like my wife
I
said.
I mean, what you can do is, I think their names come up in the credits at the end. What you can do is you could find them on Facebook and secretly follow them and find out what they do with the money.
Well, I tell you what, mate, I've got... good friend, like my best mate's missus, she is a garden designer and she does right nice fucking garden pimp outs, right and I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'll get in touch with them and try and put a bit of business my mate's way.
God, imagine they're in if the they're business getting loads of that though.
They're cash rich. Loads
of, yeah, they're probably getting lots of that now on Facebook. People
they're like,
sticking
I've got
20
grand
in.
20 grand burning a hole in my fucking pocket.
Quite
and it wants spending
salesman.
On a fucking top gardener. Mate, I know we mentioned this last week, and I don't want to overdo it because people will be aware that the Chris Ryan podcast by my best friend Chris Ryan, mm-hmm. called Life or Death with Chris Ryan, is doing really well. And, you know, we are involved in making this podcast, so it will sound biased, but today's episode is very Top Flight Time Machine friendly.
Right.
It's his guest. Every week, Chris Ryan interviews a different, usually someone from the special forces or from the military. And it basically, the theme is extreme situations that people have been in and their lives and blah, blah, blah. This week's guest is a chap by the name of Ollie Ollerton.
Great name.
I think Ollie Ollerton might be on something like SASU Tough Enough. I don't know. I think he's known off the box, but his name's Ollie Ollerton. Yeah, it is a great name. It's funny, though, that if your surname was Ollerton, and you're the parents, you go, what should we call him? We go, call him Oliver for a laugh.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you get that. You get people who are called John Johnson and stuff like that, don't you?
Yeah. I know a bloke called Thomas Thomas. I know a bloke called Kevin Thomas. He called his kid Thomas. So,
really?
Fair enough. Each their own,
Jesus Christ. I mean, Tommy Gary Neville's Thomas. Dad's Gary Neville's dad's Neville Neville, isn't he?
Neville Neville, yeah.
Neville, your face is a mess. He torn your dress.
Ollie Ollerton, Chris Ryan, always says at the beginning of every episode where he has his guests, he goes, what got you involved? What was your childhood like and what motivated you to become involved in the military of Special Forces? And usually, I mean, it's always an interesting answer. And, you know, he's had Navy SEALs, not just British people, he's had Navy SEALs, Delta Force, all this. Right. But whether they're British or American, they usually tell a similar story. Of, you know, probably an unhappy childhood, right? Maybe some not enough love around them or something like that. And the military provided a sort of alternative family. That's quite a common thing. This is what Ollie Ollerton's answer is. Well, Chris, when I was 10 years old, I was attacked by a chimpanzee at a circus in Burton-on-Trent. That, my friend, is the opening line, and that sets the fucking tone for an hour-long interview, which is one of the best hours of podcasting I've ever heard. Right? It all, and I can tell you, this bloke ended up in the SBS, right? Special Boat Service.
Yeah.
And by the way, there is a hilarious rivalry between the SAS and the SBS. They hate each other. Which is really good because they discuss this openly on the podcast, but there is clearly an edge between Chris Ryan and Ollie Ollerton because one's from each thing.
Is the SBS a lesser troop? Or whatever.
That's what the SAS would say.
Oh, right. Because I thought it's alphabetical. You get promoted into the SAS from the SBS.
They recruit from... I think you can only come from the Marines if you're in the SBS, something like that. But there's weird rules, right? Because, like, they all want missions. If you join the Special Forces, all you want is to be given fucking awesome missions, right?
I wouldn't. I'd want to just stay in.
Yeah, that's what I think when I listen to it. Yeah, that's what I think. I think if I was in the Army, I'd want a desk job or something, you know. Yeah. But what motivates them, it's so hard to go through the training, to trials, to be in the fucking SBS or the SAS, that the only people who fucking get through that are the people who are desperate to be involved in. Basically, loads of them just say, oh yeah, the embassy siege, 1980, that's what made me want to go into the army.
Jalapeño. Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
It was the coverage of the snooker that was curtailed, wasn't it? They went over to that. And I wonder if a lot of them kids who then joined the special services originally wanted to be snooker players. And then a light bulb went off in their mind and they stopped wanting to be Steve Davis and started wanting to be Windsor Davies.
In that era, snooker was the glamour job. I mean, not even joking, it was above football in terms of your celebrity and your earning potential. Mm. So you're sat there and you're thinking, you're a kid. You know, perhaps you're from a working class background. You don't see many opportunities in your future, and you're wondering how to have a better life than perhaps your dad did. And so you watch the snooker, and you see Steve Davis, and he's winning fucking millions, right? And he's a top celebrity, and you're thinking, "That's me. All I have to do is practice my snooker, and that's my ticket out of here." And then all of a sudden they go, "We are interrupting this broadcast to show you a load of fucking mental soldiers breaking into an embassy.
Throwing grenades into a window. It's going to be fucking amazing."
And as a kid, you hear that, your ears fucking prick up, don't they? Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Why has the best programme ever just come on? And so if you're thinking, well, Steve Davis looks like he's having quite a good time, but at the end of the day, he's just in a fucking quiet room knocking some balls around with a stick. These cunts, fuck me.
They're swinging in the windows and ropes.
They're in balaclavas. They've got smoke bombs. They're fucking jumping into windows. I mean, of course.
And it's 7 p.m. on a Sunday night. They should be getting ready for school.
By the way, I think someone must have posted this already on Facebook, but that must be the ultimate all right cunts, mustn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
The Iranian embassy siege. All right cunts. So anyway, he talks about all of that stuff. But with him, it all comes back to the chimpanzee attacking him in this circus. He goes into quite a lot of detail. Because he says he only went through the therapy for it last year. And I think he's in his, like, 40s or 50s now. And he said, so really, he'd buried it for a long time, right? And so now he's really, really... hang on a minute. He's really getting in touch with the role it played in his life and how central it was to everything in his life, right? And he says, we got to the circus early... He went and I saw this chimpanzee. Like, I don't know if they were doing the warm-ups or what. And he goes, so I went over because I was big on chimpanzees. He went, because I love Tarzan.
Fucking hell.
Bear in mind, this is right near the beginning of the podcast. So you're straight away, you're literally rubbing your hands together. I was listening to it first thing this morning and I was like, fucking hell, this is amazing. And he goes, now I see this chimpanzee, so I go over, say hello. And he's quite friendly. And we start sort of trying to communicate with each other. And he starts giving me bits of his food to eat. Mm. And I'm making him laugh. So I didn't want to eat the food. So I was doing that thing of pretending to eat and then throwing it over my shoulder. He goes, and then all of a sudden, he said, I felt another presence in the room. He went, and a large dark shadow was cast across us. He speaks quite poetically. And he said, and I looked up and there was a bigger chimp there glaring at me. He went, and this was the mummy. And he goes, and I could sense attention. There was something, I had an instinct for it, that there was about to be conflict. Mm. He went, and before I knew what was happening, he went, the mummy chimpanzee leapt across the room. He went, I can't remember exactly how far, but I would say its leap was at least 20 feet across the room. I'm thinking, are you fucking sure? This is what he says, and I've got it written down because his phrasing like made such an impact on me. He goes to Chris Ryan, Chris, all of a sudden, the serenity was ruined like a jet plane across the sky. He went, the mummy, right. He said, the mummy chimp was coming at me at Mach 10. Because that's how Special Forces people describe speeds to each other.
Of course it is, yeah. Mach 1's the minimum, isn't it? Speed.
He went, Mach 10, the mummy came at me. Mach 10. He went, before I knew it, the blue sky turned to black. She was on me, beating at me like a drummer in a rock and roll band. Then she began to bite at my face. And his life changed ever since. Next thing you know, he's in the SBS.
Fucking hell.
It is, and that's just the start. There is shit about him in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Northern Ireland. But it is it's a thrill ride, mate. Do you know what he said? He said, ever since that chimpanzee attacked me, he went, it was the turning point of my life. He went, from that point onwards, I was in a... Let me just get it right. He goes, I was in a constant cycle of danger and mayhem. And one last thing I'll say about it. Yeah,
go on. I was going to say, so that triggered it all. Was he then immediately addicted to that mayhem?
Yes.
That engulfed him that day? So he just wanted more of it. The attack wasn't a bad thing. It was...
That's what he says.
Yeah.
He goes, in life, I always say, you know, you have to take the short-term pain for the long-term gain. And he said, the attack by that chimpanzee, he goes, it was unpleasant. I thought, fucking hell, yeah, it sounds it, mate. He goes, but a lot of people would have stayed under that chimp for the rest of their lives, kept their head down and never wanted to face that kind of brutality again. He goes, but I went the other way. I wanted to face it again. And next time I wanted to be more ready. I don't know if he's ever fought a chimp again. But...
There's a psychology book about chimps, isn't there? That Steve fella that works with the England team. What's that called? The Chimp Paradox or something, isn't it?
The Chimp Paradox. I've got it, mate. And I can tell you, for me personally, I don't want to undermine the bloke, but I found it a waste of time.
Why is everyone obsessed with fucking chimps as being, you know, metaphors for life?
He came in, to the studio at TalkSport, and I said to the producer, I said, this bloke, everyone, because at the time he was very fashionable, less so now, because what happened to him was everyone was going on about his book, but then Roy Hodgson took him to the Brazilian World Cup in 2014.
And
we got fucking battered, didn't we? We went home with our tail between our legs. We were shit. It was one of the shittest ever England performances at a World Cup. And so I think he went a little bit out of fashion after that. But this was before that, and I said, what's his name again? Steve Phillips or something?
Something like that, yeah, I don't know.
He said, we got him coming in. I said, what, Chimp Paradox? He went, yeah,
Steve Chimpman.
I said, fuck here now. Steve Chimp Paradox. I said, I know what he's going to say, because all sports psychologists say the same.
Yeah.
They all say, when you say, what, because they talk around the subject, they go, well, you know, what we try to do is give the sportsmen little techniques, little exercises to make their mind completely focused at those crucial moments. And I go, yeah, I know all that. What do you actually do? Little techniques, little things we can do, little exercises. Be specific, because at the moment, this sounds like fucking bullshit, mate, right? Now, when you dig down, which obviously as Britain's best journalist, I'm relentless. When you dig down into these fucking geezers, do you know what they've got one thing? They go, well, for instance, what we will do is we'll get you to visualize doing the thing that you want to do. And I go, right, so let's say you're training Wayne Rooney psychologically, right? You are basically training him to think what it would be like to score a goal. Shut his eyes and think about it. And if he thinks about it for long enough, he visualizes what it is, right? Then it will manifest itself when he gets the opportunity in real life. I go, yeah. And I go, I said to the producer, I fucking tell you, right? You watch, this geezer will come in. I'll press him on what he actually does. And all he'll say is, just picture doing a thing that you want to do. And then it'll happen. So, well, when I was a teenager, I spent many an hour fucking thinking about shagging Kim Basinger. It never happened.
But if it had happened, you'd have been ready for it.
Yeah, that's true. But so sure there's enough, he comes in and I fucking pressed him. And he's like, yeah, we get him to visualise. I thought, fucking you, get out.
That's it.
Get out, you fucking charlatan. But the funny bit was...
Get out of my news arena.
Yeah.
speaking of charlatans who use florid language to cover up the fact that there's actually nothing going on, I see that England got beat last night.
I watched a little bit of it, but I wasn't really...
I watched the first half and then put it off because there was better things on.
Yeah.
Southgate is no fucking good and never has been. I'm saying that now.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right about that, actually.
No one was excited when he got the job, were they? It was a placeholder at best.
Well, that World Cup, I mean, let's be honest, it was great when England went to the semi-finals because it was fun. Yeah. It was fun to have an England team going
for really easy side of the draw to get them there.
But it was a piece of piss to get there. And we even struggled because Colombia, who we should be way ahead of, we scraped past on penalties. And then we're never going to get a better chance of getting to a World Cup final. Like, all due respect, Croatia are a good side. And, you know, they've got some great players who breeze into the England team, I suppose. But
What is it in ice skating when they score them out of six? They get scored for technical ability and is the other score artistic excellence, artistic expression?
And they also, like, I don't know if they still do this, in the 80s they gave one for sexiness too.
That was right, yeah. I think
because it was like the ladies' legs looked nice in the costume.
The PC police got rid of that. But, I mean, getting back to Colombia again, the Colombians should have got 6-6-6-6-6 for artistic expression, shouldn't they? They should. If it was an ice skating judge, Colombia would have won that for the shithousery. But we've
the shithousing was great. But, we got beat by fucking Croatia. It was stupid. If you get to a World Cup semi-final, you usually have to face a Germany, a Brazil, an Italy, one of the titans of fucking world football, right? Yeah. We got to a semi-final and we faced Croatia.
It was pretty much a bye, wasn't it, really?
It was, a tough game, of course, but for fuck's sake, you're never going to have a better chance of getting to a World Cup final. And they just beat us fair and square. There was none of the usual, it's so unfair, we lost on penalties, Gazza cried. None of that usual heartbreak where a goal was unfairly disallowed. It was just like there was a game. We went 1-0 up in the first minute and then they just turned us over.
Yeah.
But the thing is about England is that we don't have that many good players. That is really it, isn't it? I mean...
Well, I guess we don't. I mean, we don't really know. I think we kind of maybe do have some good players, but I just don't think they're fucking... set up properly.
When Sven Goran Eriksson was the manager and we had a team that had Gerrard and Lampard and Scholes for a while before he literally fucked off because he could see what a shit show it was, right? And Wayne Rooney and Owen. That was a team where you sort of thought, fuck's sake, even more now when you look back and you get such a clear vision of what a good team. Fucking, you know... Rio Ferdinand Sol Campbell and John Terry in defence. That should have fucking won the World Cup. That was a waste. Yeah. Whereas now you sort of think, fucking Harry Kane, Jordan Henderson. It's never going to be a great team, is it?
Well, I think there's players there to make a great team, but it's not about having great individuals, is it? But having said that, the defence is a shit show.
But, I would love to see Bielsa as England manager, wouldn't you?
Well, of course you would.
But you know what will happen? You know what's going to happen? Fucking Lamps is going to get it, mate. As sure as eggs is eggs. Even if Lampard has a breakdown, which we're expecting at some point, right, at Chelsea, even if he gets sacked or whatever, when, of course, there's no question about it. The moment Southgate gets sacked or walks or whatever, there will only be one candidate for that job. Because Frank Lampard is... an ex-England international who is managing a club in the Champions League. I mean, there aren't any. Not are there none of them now. I don't mean there's hardly ever been any of them. Keegan, maybe, that's it.
I mean, I'm looking right now at Twitter. I remember after England had a bad result last month, Eddie Howe was trending because people were calling for Eddie Howe to take over the England job. There's three names trending here on Twitter this morning. Each of these could be suggestions for the England job. I'm not sure. There's Paul Scholes. There's Piers Morgan.
He managed Oldham and quit after a month.
There's Piers Morgan. I mean, I don't know why they're trending. I'm assuming it could be for the England job. There's Paul Scholes, there's Piers Morgan, and there's Paul Burrell. And I mean, you can imagine any one of those three doing the England job, or all three of them doing it together.
Out of the three of them, I would definitely choose Burrell.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got leadership experience, hasn't he?
He's got leadership experience, and you know what he does? He makes people feel good about themselves. Yeah. And that's half the battle does when he? You're managing at international
okay.
level.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, no, I think it's a shoo-in for Lamps, which will be disappointing.
Eventually.
Because you can imagine, like, Lamps already moans quite a lot, despite the fact that he's been fucking parachuted into a plum job with not nearly enough experience, but has just been parachuted in. Fair enough, good luck to him. But he moans a lot. He was recently in the papers saying how he doesn't get enough respect because he's English, or some sort of garbled fucking moaner. Right, this is him when he's in that life, easy life at fucking Chelsea, being bankrolled by an oligarch, right?
Yeah.
Imagine, and the fans love him because he's the greatest ever player to play for that club, right? So he's a fucking, you've got so many free passes when you're a club legend already, right? Easy fucking life, but he's already borderline. And then I've said it before, I think he'll be the first manager to turn up on the touchline clutching a briefcase. And when he does that, we know that we're in the end game, right?
Yeah.
But if you imagine him, the way he reacts now, when he's England manager and you're coming in for non-stop daily shit from everyone for everything, he will fucking lose the plot quicker than Keegan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's something to look forward to, isn't it?
That's what we've got ahead of us,
but,
lads.
But, I mean, yeah, England are out of the Nations League, which is a sham tournament anyway, so well done, England, I suppose. The prediction things for the weekend, you got 1, 2, 3 points. I got one. Result spot got 2, I think. 3 as well. You're on 31, I'm on 29. Result spot's on 28, by the looks of it. So, there you go.
It was an enjoyable predictions weekend. Obviously, I didn't track what any of the results
were.
It was very random.
I've got some good or... I've got some good or bad things for you. Oh, no, yes or no, isn't it? Yes or no. You just simply say yes or no to any of these headlines. Goalkeeper fakes injury but is attacked by a colony of ants while he is down. Yes or no?
Yes.
School asks parents to stop throwing late students over closed gate.
Yes.
And finally, Turkmenistan leader unveils giant gold dog statue.
Yes.
Of course, yes. There it is. Right, that's it from this one.
Just lastly, though, remember, thank you for all of your all right cunts on the Facebook. They're fucking funny. They've brought a lot of joy to my life over the last week or so. I mean, if I'm feeling a bit flat or I've got some time to kill, I'll log on to, I think it's both Facebooks. There's our official one and there's the Iron Filing Society fan group. They both have a plethora of fantastic all right cunts on them. So keep those coming in because we might get round to doing something extra with those, don't I?
Yeah. Thank you very much, TTFN.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.